What's good in the hood, everybody? Welcome back to Clown Questions, the show where there are no dumb questions. I'm your host, Matt K. Maurer, and today I'm asking the question, where will Jimmy Butler get traded? In addition to that, we will have a mega show. No guests today, but I've got 2 weeks worth of stuff to catch up on, so I'm going to do a top 25 moments this week. First year interruption as usual, and probably have twice as many questions today, so longer show. It'll be just me, but I hope y'all enjoy Who's Down to Clown.
That's a clown question, bro.
So, where will Jimmy Butler get traded? I will get to that later. I'll answer that in a second. I figured I should go over a few show notes. My last podcast with Jonna, I finally got the interview audio right. I had bought a new microphone. It sounded great. And then I fucked up my own audio. That was dumb. I changed the dials on this thing. I'm still learning, guys. I have podcast producer as my LinkedIn, but I'm still improving here. And I owe $1 to the F-bomb jar for that F-up. I only have a 50, though. My grandma gave me a 50 for my birthday, so thanks, Granny. I'll find the change for that later, but we'll have the 50 right here as a little placeholder. But back to why I didn't have a show last week. It's been kind of a rough couple of weeks, just with my family. Long story short, I don't want to go into too much detail. I don't know if my mom would even really want me to talk about it, but I would feel weird not bringing it up because I hadn't missed a show. I had done a show every single week, and last week I didn't do one. But long story short, my mom had an organ transplant. That's as much detail as I'll go into, but the surgery went well, and it's a long road to recovery for her, but we think she'll make a full recovery, so we're really grateful for everything the doctors have been doing, and thank you so much for all the, you know, well wishes and prayers, and we had what we kind of were calling a Christmas miracle, so we're really grateful. My mother's health has been improving. Thank you for all the thoughts and prayers there. And then in addition to that, we had a loss in our family. My uncle Paul passed away. He had brain cancer. Really tough couple of weeks. We all loved Uncle Paul, and you know, we're all praying for his family, and if any of, you know, Paul's family's watching, anything we can do to help, we'd love to, and we're all praying for you, and praying Uncle Paul will be up in heaven soon. But yeah, Uncle Paul's always been one of my favorite uncles. Not that I want to rank uncles here, he was just a great man. He was a writer, athlete, runner, biker. He was awesome, and he had a couple alter egos. We used to call him Uncle Diaperhead. Not sure where that started. I don't know who. I think Jonna might have invented Uncle Diaperhead. But he was well known for his alter ego as commissioner of our fantasy football league. We called him Master P. I think Master P is kind of who got me into fantasy football. What was it, 12, 13 years ago? He kind of inspired me to start a fantasy league of my own. That one's 11 years running now. By the way, Dr. Jones has won 7 out of 11 of those. We love Uncle Paul. He's in a better place right now, but it's tough. Always will love Uncle Paul. I think he kind of... He really kind of sparked my love for football. I think I was just a dumb little 11-year-old, and I was always trying to, you know, chime in on the draft, like telling my brother, like, draft Michael Vick, weird example, I know, but yeah, and then he let me in the league, and I'm the new commissioner, I guess, there. So yeah, praying for everyone in Paul's family, and yeah, just a really, really tough loss. But yeah, sorry to start the show off on such a somber note, but yeah, kind of weird to talk about, but I thought it would have been weirder to not bring it up at all, and I don't know, I kind of just wanted to get that off my chest and kind of explain why I missed a week. I don't like missing weeks, but family comes first. So here I am with the mega show. So on a lighter note, Uncle Paul was a Marquette fan, but I'm a Wisconsin fan. On a lighter note, yesterday Wisconsin set the Big Ten record for points, 116, and three-pointers, 21, in their blowout of Iowa. They beat Iowa by 31 points, so really excited for the Badgers. Think we're going to have a good season, much better than last year when we got cooked by James Madison. But I don't know, that's just a fun stat. They set the Big Ten record for points and threes in the same game in a blowout of I would assume a half-decent Iowa team. But let's get into the show. It's a little too early for college basketball, a little too early for NBA too, but not too early for the NBA drama. So back to my question, where will Jimmy Butler get traded? My original question was, will Jimmy Butler get traded? I had to change it to where will he get traded, because initially the Heat said, oh, we're not going to trade him. But now it's at the point where Jimmy Butler is kind of forcing their hand. He kind of said publicly, you know, I'm happy in Miami. I like living here, but I'm not happy on the court. So he's like, I love living in Miami. I just don't love playing for the Miami Heat. So a trade seems very imminent. There's been quite a saga. He got into beef. Some Twitter beef with Shams Charania, and said Shams was talking crazy about him and all this trade. Looks like maybe Shams was right. Shams or Shams? I got to learn how to say that. But yeah, he will definitely be traded at some point, I would assume. And the interesting part is he actually just got suspended. The Miami Heat suspended him 7 games for conduct detrimental to the team. 7 games seems extreme, but I understand the suspension. They're like, hey, man, you can request a trade, but don't put us on blast in the post-game interviews. But yeah, Butler has formally requested a trade. Like I said in that interview, he wants to play, and I'm quoting him here, quote, anywhere but Miami, end quote. He continued to say, I want to get my joy back playing basketball, wherever that may be. We'll find out pretty soon here. So clearly, he will not be on the Miami Heat for too much longer. Here's a tweet from Shams. I have, the National Basketball Players Association will soon file a grievance to dispute the Miami Heat's 7-game suspension of Jimmy Butler. The grievance process is lengthy, however, and will likely not stop suspension. I understand the appeal to this suspension. 7 games, I think, seems extreme, but I don't think it's absurd to say that Jimmy Butler's conduct has been detrimental to the team. It's undoubtedly caused a lot of turmoil within that organization, so they're gonna ship him off. But I didn't even answer the question yet. Where will Jimmy Butler get traded? You probably know where I'm thinking. Los Angeles, baby, and I'm not talking Clippers. Jimmy Butler, I think, will get traded to the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, the Heat did say they wanted to receive a win now piece in the trade. I noticed today that the Suns offered Bradley Beal, but they said no thanks. We, you know, Bradley Beal, good player. We don't want that contract. I think Bradley might have somewhere around a max deal. It's not like Jimmy Butler's contract is a walk in the park either. But yeah, put Jimmy Butler on the Lakers. I'm trying to think about the win now piece we would trade for him. It would have to be like Austin Reeves or Rui Hachimura. I don't even know if they would do it for that. I love Austin and Roy. I don't want to trade them, but big three of AD, Bron, and Butler, I think that team could maybe win LeBron's final championship, maybe get Bronny James finals MVP. But yeah, that's all I got to say on that. Jimmy Butler, you are a Los Angeles Laker, which leads me to my next question. Are the Lakers back? Absolutely, bro. I've been talking about it basically to every Bucks fan. I'm like, you guys want D'Lo? Y'all want D'Lo? We'll trade you D'Lo. I hate to hate on D'Lo because he's a good player, but he's streaky, man. He'll either go, you know, 7 from 10 from 3-point or 1 from 10. I don't know. You don't like to see players get traded, but you do like to see your team improve here. So the Lakers actually ended up trading D'Angelo Russell, Maxwell Lewis, and 3 second-round picks to the Brooklyn Nets in exchange for Dorian Finney-Smith and Shake Milton. Haven't watched a ton of Dorian Finney and Shake Milton, but they're solid role players and I think much better fit for the Lakers because D'Lo is kind of more of an isolation player. I think Dorian Finney and Shake are both better spot-up shooters. I think Shake might be a power forward. I forget if he can shoot or not. Like I said, I don't know a ton about him, but I love the trade. You're getting two what I would call win-now pieces. But yeah, D'Angelo Russell's career arc is crazy. It's almost a circle. So he got drafted to the Lakers in 2016. Then he got traded to the Brooklyn Nets in 2017. After he got his first All-Star selection in 2019, in the 2019 offseason, he joined the Golden State Warriors via a sign-and-trade deal, and then he was traded to the Minnesota Timberwolves. This guy gets traded all the time in 2020. And then 3 years later, he was traded back to the Lakers at the 2023 trade deadline. And now this year, 2024/2025, he gets traded back to the Brooklyn Nets. So very circular. You know, time is a flat circle here with D'Angelo Russell. Let me plug my camera in awkwardly. I unplugged it because it'd be overheating sometimes, and then I looked, and there's not enough battery to unplug it. Hopefully, we're still recording. Hopefully, this is the regular shoot mode. Even if I'm shooting in slow motion, I can put in 2x and fix it. But y'all don't care about this technical stuff. Why am I getting into it? But yeah, time is a flat circle, and the Lakers are back. Happy trails to D'Lo. I hope you do well in Brooklyn. I'm a fan of your game, but kind of similar to how I felt as a Lakers fan when we traded Russell Westbrook. It's like, well, that's different because Westbrook's one of my favorite players of all time. D'Lo would not make that list. So I was sad to see Westbrook go, but at the same time, I was like, I think it made our team better, so I can't hate on it. Kind of same thing here with D'Lo. Love the player, but love my team getting a little bit better. Go Lake Show. Continuing on with some more NBA. Three NBA, you know, questions to start the show. We got a bunch of football on. What are we talking about? But let's ask, who won the fight? There was actually two different fights and a lot of suspension. So Najee Marshall and Yusuf Nurkic got into a fight, I think, 2 weeks ago. The NBA ended up suspending the Mavericks' Najee Marshall for 4 games and Phoenix's Yusuf Nurkic for 3 games after their fight Friday night when Nurkic struck Marshall in the head and then Marshall threw a punch. PJ Washington was also suspended 1 game for his role in the incident. And according to the NBA, following the on-court incident, Marshall attempted to further engage Nurkic in a hostile manner in the corridor outside the locker rooms. I don't know who remembers that hilarious story with, I think it was Chris Paul maybe, or I forget what two teams, I think it was Clippers and Rockets maybe during the playoffs, and they were like, meet us in the tunnel, and they wanted to have a full-out brawl. The inside the NBA guys were just cackling at this. They're like, they didn't really fight. They were just, you know, it's like two dogs on the other side of the fence. You're just barking at each other, but You're not gonna throw any punches there. But I don't know if there was any punches thrown in the corridor, but there were some punches thrown in the game. As for the other fight, well, so who won that fight? I'm going to give that fight winner to Najee Marshall. Whoever gets suspended the most games, I think, is who wins the fight, because that means they got the best lick, the best punch. They threw the first one or maybe the last one. So Najee Marshall wins that fight. And as far as the other fight, we had a fight between the Rockets and the Heat. I think Amen Thompson won this fight. So Amen Thompson, his actions sparked the fight. He got suspended 2 games without pay, and Miami Heat guard Terry Rozier has been suspended for 1 game. Rockets guard Jalen Green has been fined $35,000. Tyler Hero has been fined $25,000. Amen Thompson clearly won this fight, as my good friend, one-time guest, Dom Sirianni, so eloquently put it, 14 got bitched, which is facts. Amen just kind of pushed him to the ground. It didn't look like it took a whole lot of effort, and Hero just flailed to the ground. It's like, yeah, Amen won the fight, but it was kind of a cheap shot. Who knows? Maybe Hero flopped to get the technical or whatever. But 14 did get bitched, as Dom put it. But I don't know. In my opinion, Amen only started that fight because Tyler Hero dropped 26 points on his head. So yeah, Amen, you won the fight, but I think Tyler Hero got the last laugh. I forgot who won that game, but you clearly couldn't stop Tyler Hero, so you resorted to violence there. Speaking of resorting to violence, let's move on to some NFL. Are the Browns cooked? Yes, absolutely. They're about to play the Baltimore Ravens. I think the Ravens are 20-point favorites. I think that's the biggest spread I've seen in an NFL game maybe ever. I don't remember the last time I've seen that big of a spread. That's absurd. And there's a couple of reasons for it. The main reason, they're tanking. They're not starting Jameis Winston. But they're cooked for other reasons. So the Browns and Deshaun Watson have agreed to restructure the contract in order to save cap. It's like, okay, great. Maybe get some more players. Don't let Deshaun Watson bleed out all your money. Let me have, you know, Tom Pelissero and Ian Rappaport break it down, because I will never understand the salary cap. It makes no sense to me. It's confusing. You know, we don't even have fiat money anymore. I'm sorry, we don't have to get into the Federal Reserve. Let's just go into Tom Pelissero. This is what he said on X. The adjustment to Deshaun Watson's contract doesn't impact his $73 million cap number in 2025, which can happen later. It lets the Browns spread the cap hit at the end of his contract, which expires after 2026. A strong sign, Watson will be in Cleveland for 2 more years at least. Here's what Ian Rappaport had to say. One note that should have been clear: Deshaun Watson's fully guaranteed sum of $92 million over the next 2 years remains unchanged. He has not given up any guaranteed money. Ugh. The alterations will affect the salary cap, not cash. So I guess good for the Browns. You have a little more flexibility to get free agents, but they still got to eat that $92 million guaranteed dollars of Watson's contract. The worst contract in sports history. The worst contract just in history in general. Maybe the Geneva Accord. So I gotta go get away from history topics. I know nothing about it. Not that I know too much about sports. I'm trying. But yeah, Watson's still there. Good, you change around the cap, but you still got to pay the man $100 million to be a horrible person and a horrible quarterback. Someone who's a decent quarterback and who I thought was a decent human being is Jameis Winston. It came across my TikTok feed that Jameis Winston might not be the best guy. Obviously, his famous things that he, you know, got in trouble for at college were stealing crab legs. That story blew up. And as well as he stole crab legs. And the other one, he got on He got on a table at the student union and yelled, "Fuck her right in the pussy." There's another dollar. I'll break this 50 in a second. But yeah, those are the two like ones that got the most shine. But I saw TikTok and it's brought to my attention that he settled for $950,000 out of court for with a woman who accused him of sexual abuse. He was also accused of groping an Uber driver, and there I think there was one other sexual assault scandal. I don't know how this got swept under the rug, because Deshaun Watson gets hurt, everyone's cheering, it's like, oh yay, the, you know, the diddler, the massage connoisseur, he's hurt, we can get the lovable Jameis Winston in here. Somehow we forgot about all these allegations against Jameis Winston. Really sad. I've been a huge supporter of Jameis this entire year, this entire podcast, really his entire career. I was not aware of these allegations. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been as big of a fan. Now, was he convicted criminally of any of this? No. But the fact that he settled civilly out of court is a red flag. But yeah, this kind of just brings me back to like... I don't know. It was Christmas Day, and my brother's like, "Matt, why do you have to ruin everything? I'm ruining Jameis Winston for you guys now." But I was talking about this Christmas movie. A Christmas Story is my dad's favorite movie. And I showed him this Family Guy clip where they're like, "Oh, there's the carolers from A Christmas Story." And it's like the people from the Chinese restaurant singing "Fa la 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 la." Obviously in an offensive accent. Peter Griffin just looks at the camera like, "That's right, America. Your beloved Christmas movie is incredibly racist." My brother's like, why do you always ruin good things? It's a great movie, but that part is kind of racist. So I'm sorry, guys. I hate to ruin Jameis Winston for you. I hate to ruin him for myself, but like three different allegations. Seems like Winston might not be the best guy. He might be reformed, but he might not deserve all this public support that everyone has been getting him and making him the most likable guy in the NFL. Sorry to ruin Jameis Winston for you guys, but that was brought to my attention, and I feel like I need to backtrack on how much I love him if he truly is a predator, like the accusations were kind of saying he was. Let me check my phone to see if there's any late breaking news. The Cowboys have signed Will Greer to the active roster. Huge move. Cowboys might start Trey Lance. That would be interesting. I would love to see that. Either that or Cooper Rush, and maybe Lance gets some snaps. Getting off topic though. Back to ruining Jameis Winston. The main reason the Ravens are 20-point favorites today is because Bailey Zappe is the Browns starter. They have moved on from DTR, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, and they are returning to Bailey Zappe. Bailey Zappe's funny because there's that one point I thought maybe he could have a Tom Brady career arc because Mac Jones got hurt in a Monday night game against the Bears, and Bailey Zappe came in and balled out. He took the Packers to overtime in another week. Clearly he's not Tom Brady. He's been a backup ever since. But yeah, he's starting for the Browns Saturday. So yeah, based on the Watson contract, Bailey Zappe starting, and potentially Jameis Winston being a bad human, the Browns are cooked. Not like they weren't cooked before, but they're definitely cooked now. Let's move on. Again, so sorry to ruin Jameis Winston. Next question, who hurt? Question complete with incorrect grammar. Luka Doncic is hurt. He will be reevaluated in a month for a calf injury. Coincidentally, his home was also burglarized. Come on, people. I asked a couple weeks ago, can we chill the fuck out? That's now $3 I owe the F-bomb jar. I got to break this 50 from Granny. Stop burglarizing famous athletes' homes. I don't know. Maybe these guys need to hire more security. The problem is... I don't think it's hard to go online and find a famous person's address. And if you're an athlete, you know exactly where they are at what time if they're playing in a game. So it gives you a window of opportunity to burglarize. Stop burglarizing. Why did I go into detail with that? That's just giving burglars more ideas. Not that there's any burglars. How do you say that word? Not that there's any burglars watching this podcast. But damn, y'all, stop burglarizing, okay? Who else hurt? Kenneth Walker is done for the year. He was placed on IR. They weren't sure whether or not he can play in the playoffs. He will not. The Seahawks have been eliminated to the playoffs. The Rams knocked him out as the Rams win the NFC West. So yeah, Kenneth Walker, done for the year. Another one is Jaden Ivey. He broke his leg. He is likely out for the season. Tough loss for the Pistons, who have been a very interesting, like fun young team, despite being one of the worst teams. It seems like they're trending upward, but tough loss with Jaden Ivey. Jaden Ivey will be in the top 25 goosebump moments with a heck of a play. So tough loss for the Pistons there. Tua Tagovailoa is the next injury. He is likely out week 18, which is interesting because the Dolphins are still in playoff contention. So it's like, it wasn't a head injury, so that wasn't the concern. I think it was maybe a hip injury or something. I know it wasn't a head injury because that's more serious with a guy like Tua who's had that many head injuries. But he's I think they probably ruled him out for week 18, which is interesting because they'll have to start Snoop Huntley. And they're still alive for the playoffs. I believe with a Dolphins win and a Broncos loss, the Dolphins make the playoffs. So you'd think, oh, maybe they should push Tua to play. But in my opinion, sitting him is the right idea. Because even if you play him, or let's say you bench him. Let's say Tyler Huntley gets you to the playoffs. Yeah, you want Tua to play in the playoffs. But, like, are they going to do anything in the playoffs? No. Not when they have to go on the road to the cold. They're just not in a position, I don't think, to win anything. So I think holding out Tua, keeping your $200 million quarterback healthy is the right move here. Hopefully Snoop Huntley can produce some entertaining football for us. I'd like to see the Dolphins make the playoffs instead of the Broncos. I think the Bengals making the playoffs would be even more fun because the Bengals are a team that could make some noise. Dolphins, I think, would get waxed in the first round. But Bengals, I think, could beat anybody. I think the Bengals, if they make the playoffs, I think they're a dark horse for the Super Bowl. Now, the Bengals need to win, and they need a Dolphins loss and a Broncos loss. So it's not out of the realm of possibility. Broncos loss will be tough because the Chiefs are going to be starting Carson Wentz there. But we'll see how it goes. I shouldn't root for the Bengals. Because I want an easier path to the Super Bowl. No, I'm just kidding. The Packers don't necessarily look like a Super Bowl team at the time. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. If we play the Lions or Vikings, it's tough to beat a team three times. So maybe we can beat them. I am terrified if we have to go to Philly round one, which is what we're slated to do at the moment right now. Hopefully that changes, but we'll see. Last injury I have a note on here is Mr. Jordan Whitehead. He actually got in a car crash. So, you know, thoughts and prayers. You know, hopefully he recovers soon from that. But the Buccaneers will be without their top two safeties for a win and in matchup versus Saints. If they beat the Saints, they're in. If they lose and the Falcons win, the Falcons and Michael Penix will be in the playoffs. So, interesting storyline to follow there. I'd like to see Michael Penix in the playoffs. I think that would be entertaining. But Baker and the Bucks are a much better team. So, it'll probably be them. But who knows? Without Jordan Whitehead and their other starting safety, whose name is escaping me, it could be tough. Let's move on. Keep talking some NFL. Who broke a record? We got two records that were broken, and it wasn't Saquon's record. Saquon will be sitting out this week when he was only like 104 yards shy of Eric Dickerson's record. Tough, but the right move from Nick Sirianni. You want him healthy for round one of the playoffs. So Saquon didn't break the record, but Lamar Jackson broke a record. and Jaden Daniels broke a record. Lamar Jackson broke Michael Vick's all-time record with 6,000 some rushing yards. I forget the actual number, so forgive me, but Lamar, one of the greatest of all time, a two-time MVP, could be the back-to-back MVP this year. I'd probably give it to Josh Allen or even Saquon, but I wouldn't object to Lamar Jackson winning it either. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and he is now officially, statistically, the greatest dual-threat quarterback ever. Michael Vick did not run for that many yards. He played, I think, more years, and I think Lamar broke this record in fewer years than Mike Vick set it. Kudos to Lamar Jackson. One of the best to ever do it, especially on the ground. But put some respect on his name passing. He's got, I think, maybe the highest passer rating in the league. It infuriates me when people diminish how good of a passer he is. But wanted to acknowledge his rushing record there. As well as Jaden Daniels' rookie record. He broke the record for most rushing yards by a quarterback in their rookie season. I believe the record was like 860 or something. So he's approaching 900 yards. Whose record did Jaden Daniels break? He broke a Washington Redskins quarterback record. And I can say Redskins because at the time, Robert Griffin III was on the Redskins. Now the Commanders. Both Washington quarterbacks, both dual threats, both Heisman Trophy winners. Congrats to Jaden for breaking that record. But damn, these comparisons scare me. You're really glad that Jaden Daniels looks like RG3, plays like RG3, because RG3 is one of the most talented guys. One of the most talented guys ever. But the comparisons are freaking me out. Because Jaden Daniels is fun to watch. I'm a huge Jaden Daniels fan. And if he really is like RG3, that could put him at a risk for injury. They have similar stature and a similar play style. So I'm praying Jaden Daniels doesn't ever get hurt. Hopefully these RG3 comparisons will produce a good career and somehow he'll avoid some injuries there. But yeah, congrats to Lamar and Jaden Daniels on breaking some rushing records. Let's move to some baseball. Who cares about baseball? What's good in the MLB? Basically just some free agency offseason news here for you. The Diamondbacks have signed Corbin Burnes to a 6-year, $210 million deal. Good get for the D-backs there. I think Burnes has declined a little bit since he was in Milwaukee with the Brewers. But good signing for the D-backs. The Dodgers have re-signed Teoscar Hernandez to a 3-year, $66 million deal. That's a steal. He's only making $22 million a year. I think he won the home run derby contest last year. Not that that's significant at all. The home run derby. The King was like, it's home run contest. Stop the madness. It's only the derby for horses. No, it's a home run derby. Not that the home run derby means you're, you know, good in you know, regular baseball games. But yeah, Teoscar was a force last year as far as swinging the bat. Great home run hitter. Great contract for the Dodgers there. They're only paying him $22 mil. Moving on, we got the Astros signing Christian Walker to a 3-year, $60 million deal. Good player, good home run hitter. The Yankees have signed Paul Goldschmidt to a 1-year, $12.5 million deal. Paul Goldschmidt washed. I'm probably only saying that because he went to the Yankees. If he went to the Brewers, I'd be like, heck yeah, dude. But he's on the Yankees, so washed. Josh Naylor has been traded to the Diamondbacks. Another good get for the D-backs there. Good little first baseman, home run hitter. Moving on, Jock Peterson signs with the Rangers. Okay, moving on. Walker Buehler signs with the Red Sox. Great pitcher. He just won a championship with the Los Angeles Dodgers. I believe he might have been injured, but one of the better pitchers in the league, so good get for the Sox. Shane Manea has re-signed with the Mets. Kutch has re-signed with the Pirates. Shout out Andrew McCutchen, one of my favorite players of all time. And this guy, this is someone who I had not heard of, but Hye-Seong Kim, hopefully I pronounced that right, has signed with the Dodgers from the KBO, the Korean Baseball Organization. He had been playing professionally there for a number of years, but he will sign with the Dodgers. Don't know a ton about Hye-Seong Kim, really nothing about him. All I know is that he played professionally in Korea. But Hye-Seong Kim, not to be confused with Ha-Seong Kim, who was on my fantasy baseball team. But I don't know. The Dodgers have been on a roll. Whoever their GM is, he's been cooking ever since that Ohtani deal. So Dodgers are going to be a force. Dodgers could easily go back-to-back. Someone who won't go back-to-back or even back. This man will never win a championship, and he proved it to me in the college football playoffs, Kurt Cignetti. So here's my question. Is Kurt Cignetti a pothead? His name suggests that maybe he's a cigarette smoker. Great pun there, you know, Cignetti. You'd think he's a cig guy, cigs inside. Yeah, his name suggests he's a cigarette smoker, but his actions suggest he's a pot smoker. This infuriated me so much. I'm not going to recap all the college games. I'll make my semifinal picks. I usually do more of news than game recaps, but this game drove me crazy. The first round college football playoff matchup between Notre Dame and Indiana. Indiana lost 27-17. The game really wasn't as close as it looked because, you know, a lot of those, I think 14 of those points were garbage time touchdowns in the final 3 minutes of the game. So really Notre Dame dominated. But I think Indiana might have had a chance had Kurt Cignetti made two crucial decisions. If he had made those decisions in a wiser manner. So one of these horrible decisions was he called a timeout on one of the dumbest looking trick plays of all time. Basically, Notre Dame lined up for a field goal and they changed the formation from the field goal into one of the weirdest formations where all of the O-linemen went to one side of the field and the center is all by himself and they put the tight end at quarterback. Cignetti freaked out. He's like, how do we defend this? He calls a timeout. The ball did get snapped, the play got ran, and Notre Dame got stopped short. So it should have been a turnover on downs, but Cignetti called a timeout because he's like, I don't know, guys. This, the center and the tight end at quarterback, I don't know how to defend it. Idiot. Stupid. Because it just reminds you of that Indianapolis Colts play, the trick play, the worst play of all time. And it also reminds you of that Dallas Cowboys trick play where they put Ezekiel Elliott at center. If Cignetti had remembered those two plays, he remembered they were absolutely terrible plays. They didn't go anywhere. I think the Zeke play, maybe they got 8 yards. Colts was a tackle for loss. If you haven't seen the Cowboys or the Colts play, look them up. Just look up Cowboys dumb play or, you know, Colts dumb play. I'm sure you'll find it. Two of the worst plays ever. If Cignetti had kept that in mind, he would know you don't have to call a timeout to figure that one out. And also, why call a timeout? Because they're not going for it. They're like switching from a field goal to going for it with their tight end at quarterback. Just let it play out, man. If you call a timeout, they're not going to run that again. Let it play out. Should have been a turnover on downs. Instead, Notre Dame ends up getting a field goal here. But yeah, if he doesn't call a timeout, it's a turnover on downs. Another one that pissed me off was they were down 20-3. So they're down 17 points, three possessions. There was about 10, 11 minutes left in the game. Cignetti punted on 4th and 11 at the 50-yard line. They needed three possessions. Why are you punting at the 50? Are you crazy? And not to mention, after that punt, Notre Dame went on to chew up 5 minutes of game clock on that touchdown drive. So 5 minutes of game clock. Now the score is 27-3. You gotta go for it then. You gotta go for that, man. You're down three scores. That's a mercy punt. That's a punt to make your team look like you didn't lose as much. And it didn't even work. You punted and they still scored a touchdown, chewed up more clock, and you got those garbage time touchdowns. But if you get that fourth down there and score, it's what, 10-20? That's a winnable game. And then if you don't call a timeout on that stupid-ass trick play, it's 17-10. That's a one-score game, man. But yeah, based on that game, and I'm serious here, they should take away his Coach of the Year award. I was so pissed. I was rooting for Indiana in that game. I was rooting for all the underdogs. I just wanted to see a semi-good game somewhere, which we have only had one. We're like 1-7 on entertaining football games in the college football playoff. There needs to be some adjustments made, I'll admit that. But yeah, two of the worst coaching decisions I've ever seen. Take away his Coach of the Year award. Yeah, there's no moral victories, but are there moral losses is a question I'm asking here. Because that punt was not a move you make when you're trying to win the game. That's a move you make when you're trying to prevent yourself from losing by more points. Dan Lanning did the same thing with Oregon. He punted on 4th and 4 when he was down 26. I believe that was in the fourth quarter as well. Lame. He's going for a moral loss. Dan Lanning went full Cignetti here. He didn't get a Coach of the Year award, and I don't think his mishaps might have been worse than Cignetti's, because they got blown the F out of the water, 34-0 to start the game. Ohio State was up. But man, there's few things I hate more in sports than the mercy punt. If you have a chance to pull off an incredible comeback, go for it on fourth down. What, you're afraid that instead of losing 40-20, you're going to lose 47-20? That's loser talk. That's pussy shit. I don't know. So people have been saying comedy's making a comeback. Let me know if calling something pussy shit or calling someone a pussy, if that's still offensive. It doesn't seem like, I don't think that phrase is very feministic. There's certain areas we should not, you know, go back to in comedy. There's certain words I do think should be off limit. I don't know. Let me know if pussy's back, though. If it's not, though, I apologize. Just leave a comment and we can talk it through. But pussy shit from Dan Lanning. I hate the mercy punt. Continuing on, my goodness, this is going to be a long show. Anything else happen? Yes, the Sugar Bowl was postponed. Praying for all the victims in New Orleans. That's why it was postponed after a horrible attack, which was apparently linked to ISIS. I got to stop bringing up politics. I don't know enough about it. But horrible, horrible thing to happen. I think he kind of drove through Bourbon Street in a truck and killed maybe 10, 15 people. So praying for everyone who lost their lives, praying for everyone's friends and family who were affected. Just really tough. But yeah, Notre Dame goes on to beat Georgia in the Sugar Bowl there. Yeah, somber thing that happened there. Anything else happen? DeSean Jackson, he's been named the head coach at Delaware State. I heard something about HBCU pipeline. I don't know what that means. Maybe, I mean, Delaware State's an HBCU, so I think DeSean, as a former NFL player, he wants to encourage guys that play at HBCUs to make it to the NFL. So great, great news for Delaware State there. DeSean Jackson is one of the last people I would expect to be coaching. He's been in the news a lot after Jonathan Taylor and so many others dropped the ball short of the goal line this year. He made it famous. Hopefully he'll be famous from his coaching here. And Delaware State can get, I was going to say back in the fold. I don't think they've ever been in the fold. In the fold in college football here. Some more news I'm going to rattle off here. Teddy Bridgewater has come out of retirement to join the Detroit Lions. Very interesting move there. I think Hendon Hooker will still be the backup. Bridgewater will probably be the third string, maybe a practice squad guy. I think he's more of a locker room guy. He actually just won a state championship. He was the coach of probably his alma mater high school football team. So interesting move for Bridgewater to come out of retirement. But I think it's probably more of a locker room presence thing. Maybe. They're trying to see if Bridgewater's got any leftover secrets from Minnesota. He doesn't. I don't think Kevin O'Connell coached Teddy Bridgewater, and Bridgewater probably hasn't played for the Vikings in like 6 years, so that's a dumb comment. But yeah, cool to see Teddy Bridgewater come out of retirement. Hoping he stays healthy. I think that's why he retired, was for his health. So I kind of hope he doesn't have to play. Because you don't want him to have another debilitating injury like he's had in the past. Speaking of debilitating injuries, Carson Beck is done for the year. He was done for the year before Georgia lost, but now he's done for the year because Georgia lost to Notre Dame. Gunnar Stockton just couldn't quite do it. Unfortunate for Georgia there, but Carson Beck has now declared for the NFL draft. That injury is going to complicate things, though. But seems like he still could be a first, second-round pick. We will see, though. More news. Texans claim Deontay Johnson off waivers. Huge get for them because of the Tank Dell injury. I think their core, receiving core, is probably now Nico Collins, John Mechie, and Deontay. I don't know if he's played yet, but somewhat of a veteran presence there. Hopefully he doesn't refuse to play like he did for the Ravens. I don't even remember. Deontay just hasn't been playing much, so it's hard to remember what team he's on. He's on the Texans now. But yeah, good get for the Texans. I don't expect the Texans to make much noise, but if they are going to, they're going to need a little bit more help with their receiving core. So good get for them. More news. Bo Prabula has transferred to Missouri. This was interesting because Prabula was not allowed to play in the college football playoff because he entered the transfer portal, so he wasn't allowed to play for Penn State at all, but he transfers to Missouri. I would assume he'll be the starter next year. Moving on, Alex Caruso signs a 4-year, $81 million extension with the Thunder. Great move for the Thunder there. It's kind of everything they hoped Josh Giddey would be, minus the allegations. I don't know. That's probably not a great comparison at all. Giddey's taller. I think more of an offensive force. I think Caruso's more of a defensive force. But I think Caruso will be a huge role player in what could hopefully be a little Thunder renaissance here with SGA and the rest of these guys. But moving on, Ricky Henderson has passed away. Praying for his family and friends, thoughts and prayers. The Stolen Base King. I never got to watch Ricky Henderson play, but I know he's one of the greatest to ever do it. I'm sure I've seen some highlights, but what I'll always remember from Ricky Henderson is the Stolen Base record. That picture of him holding a base above his head is so iconic. You've never seen someone do that. He's a stolen base leader, and he might be one of the only players to actually steal a base. He stole the base and said, "I'm taking this home." So yeah, rest in peace, Ricky Henderson. Last, anything else happened? Bullet point. The Bulls are retiring D. Rose's jersey next year. They will be retiring number one. And I think I said this in a past episode, but ladies, if you ever want to see your man get emotional, just ask them about D. Rose's prime. Just ask them about prime Derrick Rose. They will launch into a beautiful soliloquy on someone who could have been one of the greatest of all time. And clearly the Bulls do think he is one of the greatest of all time if they retired his jersey there. I had a thought and I lost it. What was I going to say? It's tough. Don't you hate when you lose your train of thought? This podcast is far too long. Let me speed it up. Last question for y'all. Why was Mike Brown fired? I should have done more research in this because I don't know why he got fired. I don't know if anyone knows why he got fired. Apparently got fired over the phone, which I'm sure he was not happy about. That's a cowardly move to not at least have the conversation with him face to face. But I don't know. It seems like maybe he got scapegoated for this Kings losing streak. And perhaps it was because he was kind of putting the onus of these losses on Mr. De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis a little bit. And I guess the Kings didn't like that he was putting pressure on his players or, quote, throwing his players under the bus. Who knows? I don't know why they fired him. He got this team to the playoffs after, what, a 15-year drought? I think that was, you know, 2 years ago. So he had a lot of success for a team that hadn't been doing well. He's been lighting the beam, but he's fired. I don't know who the interim coach is. I'll figure that out later. Google it if you want to know. Sorry. We'll see who they fire, but weird that he got fired. And that's why this 2 weeks mega show's first year interruption is going to be with Mike Malone. So Mike Malone has criticized the Kings firing. He did not evidently like the fact that the Kings fired Mike Brown, nor the fact, nor how they fired Mike Brown. He seemed pissed in this post-game interview. He seemed pissed that they fired Mike Brown. Mike Malone is, of course, the Denver Nuggets head coach. I don't understand this Mike Brown firing. That's why my answer to it was I don't know. I think they're just scapegoating him, which seems a little early to do that. And Mike Malone definitely thought so too. So here's first year interruption with Mike Malone, the Nuggets head coach, and his thoughts on the Mike Brown firing.
Thoughts on the firing of Mike Brown?
Awful. Yeah, awful. And the reason I say that, Matt, is so we're going into a meeting this afternoon. And, you know, the good thing about me is that I'm not on social media. I'm not aware of what's going on outside these walls sometimes. I've had an office but no windows for 10 years. It's probably taken off 6 years of my life. And I go into the meeting and the coaches say, you hear about Mike Brown? And I said, why? What happened? And they said he got fired. And at first I was really shocked and surprised. And then I caught myself. I said, why am I shocked and surprised? For two reasons. One, because as an NBA head coach, ultimately you're going to get the blame. When they win, it's going to go to Sabonis and Fox. When you lose, it's going to go to Mike Brown. That's the way it works. And two, who he works for. So I'm not surprised that Mike Brown got fired, because I got fired by the same person. And what really pissed me off about it was the fact that they lost last night, fifth game in a row, I believe. Tough loss, fouling a jump shooter. They had practice this morning. He does his post-game media. And he's in his car going to the airport to fly to L.A., and they call him on the phone. No class, no balls. That's what I'll say about that. Thanks, everybody.
No class, no balls. Well said by Mike Malone there. I couldn't have said it better myself. That's why I picked Mike Malone for the first year interruption. Pussy shit. I need to check with the cultural zeitgeist to see if pussy is back as an insult. I don't know. It might be a misogynistic sentiment. So please let me know. I'm not trying to be PC, but I don't want to offend anyone. I'm trying to make people laugh. Hopefully I've been doing that a little bit. We'll see. But yeah, no class, no balls. Firing him over the phone right when he's going to hop on a flight. And that's kind of what Mike Malone was saying. He's like, if they win, they give the credit to Sabonis and Fox. If they lose, it's on Mike Brown. And I guess the Kings didn't like that he was, you know, kind of giving De'Aaron Fox a little shit, kind of saying like he needs to play better. Yeah, Malone said he wasn't shocked that they fired him because he got fired by the same guy. So, weird firing. If anyone has more information on the Mike Brown firing, please let me know, because I genuinely don't know why he got fired. And maybe it had to do something with that interview the other day, a couple weeks ago. I did a first interruption with him where he went, "We gotta grind possession after possession after possession after possession after possession." I'm not gonna say all of them, but he said it 26 times. Maybe that had something to do with the firing. But who knows? Weird story there. Like I said, I don't know the full details. I didn't look enough into it, nor do I think looking into it would really give me that much insight, because it's just weird. It's just a weird firing. But enough on Mike Brown and firing. Let's do it. Let's do the top 25 goosebump moments of the week. Ooh, I just saw a commercial. NFL drafts in Green Bay next year. We got to go to that. We got to go to that, bro. Travis Hunter. Ooh, number one pick. Or will it be Shadur? Sorry, getting off track. Let's do the top 25 goosebump moments of the week. Starting off at number five, we have a classic Mike Breen call blocked by James. Here's LeBron James with a clutch Christmas Day block.
Under a minute remaining. Wiggins drives, goes right at Reeves. Layup blocked by James. Green gets it. Schroeder at three. It's good.
Number 24, South Florida wins the Hawaii Bowl in five overtimes.
Walker Egan moving to his left. Crosses body. It's incomplete and it's over. South Florida pulls off the five overtime win at the Hawaii Bowl.
Number 23, Toledo wins a sextuple overtime thriller in the Sports Bowl.
Duggar under duress. Incomplete.
Yeah, sports.
And there are no flags. Toledo wins it in six OTs.
Number 22, Justin Jefferson's 39-yard tutty gives the Vikings the lead over Seattle.
Launching downfield, and it is caught! Twisting, turning, touchdown, Jefferson! Minnesota's back in front!
Number 21, Jordan Poole hits the step-back three with 8 seconds left to win it.
Oh, yeah! Jordan Poole hitting a big three, getting the Wizards faithful off their feet.
Number 20, Caden Pierce hits a gamer to win it for Princeton.
With 7, Caden Pierce hits it off with 4.5.
Number 19, Cole Anthony banks in a running floater as the Magic beat the Nets.
Anthony turns the corner, off the glass, he banked it in. Do you believe in miracles?
Number 18, Devon Achan runs in a 50-yard dagger.
Another big run. There he goes. He's got wide open space. Achan with an A-plus effort and a touchdown by Miami.
Number 17, Steph Curry elicits a double bang from Mike Breen.
Curry puts up a three. Bang! Bang! He ties the game with 6.3 remaining.
Number 16, same game. Austin Reeves hits the game-winning layup in a Christmas Day classic.
Inside layup. He banks it in. 1 second remaining, no timeouts. Here comes Curry, launches a three-quarters court. Oh, off the mark, and the Lakers win a thriller.
Number 15, Wemby steals it from Jokic in the clutch as the Spurs beat Denver.
Intercepted! Devin Vassell bracing, and that might do it.
Number 14, Deron Bland steals the ball from Rashad White as the Cowboys win a wild one.
In my entire life, Baker Mayfield fighting for his life, Rashad White fighting for his life, and Deron Bland fighting for the football, and he got it.
Number 13, Tyler Hero plays Hero on this game winner for Miami.
Hero attacking, firing a jumper. It's good with 0.5 of a second left. Hero shoots the Heat back into the lead.
Number 12, Scoot Henderson's turnaround jumper wins it for the Blazers.
Sudden stop, turns, flips up, scores! Scoot Henderson, the fallaway hopper with 0.1 of a second. Blazers take the lead. Scoot Henderson pulling on the, jamming on the brakes.
Number 11, Jamison Crowder and the Commanders take the lead versus Philly with 6 seconds remaining. Number 10, Chuba Hubbard high steps his way to a walk-off TD.
Hubbard. Chuba Hubbard dancing into the end zone and a Panthers victory with a touchdown in overtime.
Number 9, Marvin Mims mosses two defenders to send the game to overtime.
And Knicks will throw it. It is caught. Touchdown. Touchdown. Mims got the ball. Marvin Mims caught the ball. Outside the pocket, Knicks has been terrific. Doubled.
Number 8, same game, T. Higgins with a walk-off TD in OT to keep the Bengals alive.
Touchdown, Bengals win, and they are alive in the playoff race.
Number 7, Zach Ertz walk-off TD sends Washington to the playoffs. Number 6, Gunnar Helm with the go-ahead touchdown for Texas in double overtime.
Gunnar Helm opens it up that way. Texas's first play of the second overtime, and they take the lead from one of the best tight ends in the country.
Number 5, Andrew Makuba's INT sends Texas to the semifinals.
That ball's intercepted! It is intercepted! Makuba seals it! Hook 'em horns! They're headed home to Texas to play in the Cotton Bowl. Texas advances. Makuba seals it.
Number 4, Akello Witherspoon with an acrobatic interception to win it for the Rams.
Up in the air and intercepted. Akello Witherspoon saves the day.
Number 3, Zuby Ejiofor with a putback at the buzzer to give St. John's the victory.
Ejiofor at the buzzer! St. John's wins!
Number 2, Jaden Ivey with a game-winning four-point play.
Stand up, this Golden 1 center crowd. Ivy makes the free throw. Pistons, 114-113.
Number 1 moment of the week, Justice McNair hits a half-court shot at the buzzer to win it for Valpo.
For the win! He got it! Justice McNair completes the remarkable 21-point comeback for Valpo.
This has been a presentation of ESPN. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas to you.
What a shot from Justice McNair there. Yeah, there's few things that can beat. How do you beat a half-court shot buzzer beater? There's few things that beat that. I think a Hail Mary beats a half-court shot. A walk-off home run in the World Series, I would say, beats that, but other than that, how do you beat a half-court shot at the buzzer? Maybe a full-court shot at the buzzer. That would beat it. A half-court shot at soccer. A half-court shot in soccer at the buzzer, I think, is slightly better. But you can't get much better than a half-quarter at the buzzer. What a play from Justice McNair. What a win from Valparaiso there over Western Michigan. Let's finish out probably the longest show of your life because you had to listen to me talk for an hour straight. But here I got the CFP semifinals picks. Let me just say that this podcast probably won't be, it'll be posted on a Saturday, probably won't be posted until after Browns Ravens. That is a big game because it affects the AFC North. Steelers and Ravens play today. One of them will be the winner. But unfortunately, I'm not going to talk about that. Not going to make any NFL picks. I'm going to do the CFP semifinals. So next week, I can pick the NFL playoffs. But here, let's do the CFP semifinals picks. We got two games here. Let's start with the Orange Bowl at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. We have number 6 seed Penn State versus 7 seed Notre Dame. Notre Dame is 2-point favorites. My pick is going to be Penn State plus 2. Or actually, you know, give me Penn State money line. I think Penn State wins the game. So you make a little bit more money there with the money line. And, you know, I hate to go against my godmother here and her Fighting Irish. But Indiana's coach is a pothead. So not an easy win. And Georgia played with their backup QB. Not as easy of a win. But if Carson Beck was there, probably would have been different. But as far as Penn State goes, their best player, D-lineman Abdul Carter, who got injured in the Boise State game, he posted a picture on X. Now, we weren't sure if he's going to be able to play for these semifinal games, but he posted a cryptic picture on Twitter. I got to stop calling it X. Screw you, Elon, for changing it. But he posted this picture on X of Darth Vader in like a cryo chamber. Star Wars nerds, don't come for me. I know that's probably not the right terminology, but it's, yeah, Darth Vader in this cryo chamber. So based on that, I think it's safe to say Abdul Carter will be playing. Otherwise, why would he post that? So yeah, I just don't think the Irish can win against Penn State in the trenches here, especially with Abdul Carter in the fold. Give me Penn State in that one. The other semifinals games, who will be playing Penn State in the championship? The Cotton Bowl winner will be. The Cotton Bowl is at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. That's interesting because it is 8-seed Ohio State versus 5-seed Texas. I don't know how far Arlington is from Austin, but I would assume it's, you know, only a couple-hour drive, much closer than Columbus is to Arlington. So you would think maybe Texas has a little bit of a home crowd here. Tough to say, but evidently that home crowd is not affecting how Vegas is looking at this game because they have Ohio State as 6-point favorites. That's going to be my pick as well. Actually, I don't know if they can cover. So I'll take Ohio State money line. I think Texas does cover. I think Ohio State wins a close one. I guess that means my pick is Texas plus 6 because that does make you more money than Ohio State money line. But I do expect Ohio State to win this game. I think freshman receiver Jeremiah Smith, who just terrorized Oregon, I think he keeps it up, keeps tearing it up against the Texas Longhorns here. And yeah, Texas coach Steve Sarkisian, a.k.a. Sark, he in an interview said, "Clearly, we are massive underdogs and no one is giving us a chance." That might be a stretch, Sark. I don't know if you're massive underdogs. You're 6-point underdogs. And I think there's plenty of people giving you a chance. It's just they think Ohio State has a better chance. But Sark also called Ohio State, quote, "the best team in college football." Well, Sark, in the preseason, I did pick Ohio State to be my college football playoff champion. So I'm going to have to agree with you there.